Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi there, and welcome to the Explaining History podcast. And today I want to talk about one of the less documented episodes at the end of the Spanish Civil War, and that is the flight of 500,000 Spanish Republicans across the Pyrenees into France, and how they were actually treated when they got to France. The great refugee crisis that we know about occurred at the end of the Second World War. This is popularly, multiple refugee crises as people fled from the Red Army, as guest workers or forced workers in Germany at the end of the war tried to get home, and there were multiple problems for the new United Nations and its various agencies to deal with. But there was a huge refugee crisis as well in 1939, as the men and women and children fleeing Franco's murderous regime that is installing itself in Spain after 3 years of bloody civil war, attempted to escape. So by late October 1938, the Republican government, as we know, is on the verge of collapse. There was just, for example, 17,000 rifles left to defend Catalonia, and when Barcelona fell in January 1939, hundreds of thousands of refugees left Catalonia, fearing the bloodletting that was going to ensue when the nationalists, Franco's nationalist forces, had conquered Republican parts of Spain. There had been mass killings, executions of Republican politicians, anyone thought to be associated with the Republican regime. So the supporters of the Republic were in no doubt about what would happen to them, and the only option was to cross the Pyrenees Mountains and hopefully find refuge in France. The journey across the Pyrenees was really just the beginnings of the problems of the Republican refugees. However, the political weather had been changing in France. In 1936, there had been a Popular Front government under Léon Blum, a socialist prime minister, and the possibility of France offering more aid to Republican Spain increased during that year. The Popular Front government mirrored Spain's own Popular Front, which had been formed in the same year. And the threat that Hitler saw to Popular Fronts, which were really just left coalitions, was immense. He saw this as being the real danger to fascism in Europe. Stalin also disliked Popular Fronts. He thought that they represented a democratic path to socialism, which was the opposite of Soviet communism, and therefore it represented a challenge to his authority as the kind of the key figure within the world, within world revolution. So this was kind of a promising as far as the Republic in Spain was concerned. However, in 1937, Leon Blum's government falls. The conservative right in France uses rather kind of manufactured popular protests against the Popular Front in order to come to power. Blum's successor, Edouard Daladier, who would famously with Chamberlain negotiate with Hitler at the Munich Agreement, the Munich Conference, handing over the Sudetenland to Germany. Daladier was far less inclined to look favourably upon the Spanish Republic and was far more inclined with Britain to starve it of badly needed funds and equipment. As far as Daladier was concerned, the Republic was really a kind of one of Stalin's outposts in southern Europe. And the French were unprepared for the influx of refugees as they spent much of their time and energies focused on Germany and what Hitler appeared to be planning. In response to the trail of refugees coming across the mountains, the French established camps across southern France for hundreds of thousands of Spanish exiles to be interned in. There were, in some cases, just barbed wire enclosures laid out across beaches and the Mediterranean, obviously lacking shelter, lacking sanitary facilities or cooking facilities. And in 6 months, 14,672 refugees died in these camps from malnutrition and dysentery. Now, those kinds of statistics, it would be interesting, perhaps an entirely different academic study, to compare those kinds of statistics to death rates of the various different kinds of prisoner of war, internment, and other camps during the Second World War. Perhaps they would not be quite as acute as some of the Nazi or other camps, but they would be contenders for real for crimes against humanity. Now, in the January edition of History Today, Larry Hannand writes all about the Camp de Riversols, which was a camp which was built near Perpignan. He says, built in 1938 to acclimatise troops to arid conditions, the camp was hastily reconfigured to take in Spanish refugees. For the 8,000 men, women and children in it, Riversols was only a slight improvement on the exposed beaches of the camps of Saint-Saprien, Argelès-sur-Mer and the Bassarès. If they lacked adequate food, accommodation and medicine, the refugees there found they had an abundance of another amenity, French guards. "We're up to our ears in gendarmes," complained one refugee. "The supervision was so pervasive and perverse that they spied on us when we had a bowel movement." The French guards were renowned for treating the interned Spanish refugees badly, being behaving violently towards them, robbing them, and treating them generally like the unwelcome guests who had been imposed on France. And it's interesting to consider politically where these jailers were probably coming from. The shift towards the reactionary right in France, and also the undercurrent of resentment by police and army officers and the kind of the bastions of the right in France against the French left, were being taken out on refugees from the now defunct centre-left state to the south. In the collection of essays on the 20th century by Tony Judd, Reappraisals, which I urge everyone to read, it's a brilliant, brilliant book, he writes an essay on reviewing a book on the fall of France. And his conclusion is that France fell in 1940 because France was already politically and ideologically divided with a hardcore of reactionary fascist sympathisers at the centre of the army. And there's a very revealing photo at the end of the Hitler's campaign against France where French generals are surrendering in a sort of almost slightly sheepish way to the Germans, looking faintly relieved that what wasn't going to happen, as had happened in 1870, was a full-scale socialist revolt in Paris. One of the things that's true about this period of time is that there is a kind of a great ideological civil war, a great sort of political civil war, not of the shooting variety, happening in France during the 1930s. And the politics of the reactionary right can be seen manifested in the actions of the prison guards just mentioned.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And the ill treatment of the Spanish was designed to encourage them to go back to Spain. Some did, despairing of their treatment in France. And when they reached the border, they were arrested by the Guardia Civil and then jailed and in some cases executed. By December 1939, 200,000 Spaniards and their comrades from the international brigades, about whom we'll talk more in the moment, had remained in France. So about 300,000 had eventually either died in France or gone home. Another camp at Vernet, which was just 50 kilometres from the Spanish border, contained the most renowned fighters of the international brigades, anarchists, socialists, and those who had really no home. So particularly communists from Germany and Austria. These were people for whom these people presented a huge political dilemma to France. It was unclear as to what exactly to do with them. 6 months after the first wave had arrived at Vernet, another wave of anti-fascists were sent there. So to continue the story, Larry Hannant writes, 6 months later, they were joined by another wave of anti-fascists. When Germany declared war on September the 1st, 1939, France turned sour on another group of 3 million exiles living in its midst. Over the previous 6 years, these outcasts had fled Nazi Germany, fascist Italy, and the authoritarian regimes of Eastern Europe and the Balkans. Arthur Kessler was one of them. Born in Hungary, Kessler had become been a member of the Communist Party of Germany from 1931 to 1938, before leaving it in disgust on hearing of Stalin's Moscow show trials. During the grim summer of 1939, as Europe hung on tenterhooks over who might be Hitler's next victim, Kessler was lying low in southern France. He was supposed to be writing what would become his best-selling anti-communist novel, Darkness at Noon, but it was hard to keep his mind on fiction. Any sense of calm, he wrote later in his memoir Scum of the Earth, was drowned out by a tide of xenophobia sweeping over France with morbid rapidity. As one of the hated foreigners with dubious political sentiments, Kessler was arrested a month after the war began and interned at the Vernet camp. At the time, he thought the conditions were even below the level of Nazi concentration camps, though 30 of the men in his barrack could make the comparison with greater authority. They had all suffered periods of imprisonment at Dachau, Oranienburg, and Wolfsbüttel. If somebody screamed at night in our barracks, we knew he had dreamt of the Gestapo. And regaining consciousness, he recognised with relief the smell of rotting the smell of relief of the rotting straw of Vernet, Kessler caustically observed. One hut at the camp, nicknamed the Leper Barrack, was made up of 350 veterans from Spain. They were remnants of the international brigades, once the pride of the European revolutionary movement, the vanguard of the left. Kessler recalled that even the most wretched in other hutments looked upon these with a mixture of horror and dismay. None of them possessed a change of shirt or socks, and they went about naked under a thin, ragged shirt. The barrack was infested with vermin and disease. Compared with these ravaged souls, even with internees in his own barracks, Kessler was fortunate. Influential friends in England had put pressure on the French government, and after 3 months at Vernet, he was released. Kessler was one of the last to reach freedom, as he related a week after France capitulated to Germany on the 22nd of June 1940. The Gestapo made its first visit to the Vernet camp. What a find for Himmler's black-clothed men. £300,000 of democratic flesh, all labelled alive and only slightly damaged. So here is a curious and terrible irony, that when the Nazis managed to conquer France, there was already a pre-existing concentration camp system with internees from across Europe who were all vociferous anti-Nazis, ready to be handed over to the Gestapo. And who handed them over? Well, it wasn't the pre-existing regime of the French Third Republic. No, far from it. It was the new Vichy regime, who were comprised of the fascist sympathisers and overt fascists, people like Pierre Laval, who had been simmering with their discontent against democratic norms and their own notions of anti-Semitism and anti-communism. It was these people who happily embraced the Nazis and were happy to hand over the desperate internees who had been corralled in France for several years. So France's defeat meant that the camps grew, and in 1942, Marshal Philippe Pétain, the head of the Vichy regime and collaborator with the Nazis, began to participate and cooperate with the Nazi regime's final solution, the mass murder of all Europe's Jews. This meant that Jews, Roma and dissidents and Spanish Republicans were moved from French internment to camps in Germany, Austria and Poland. There were, for example, 5,000 deaths of Spanish Republicans at Mauthausen camp in Austria. Before the fall of France, some Spanish internees managed to find deployment with the French Foreign Legion in North Africa. And at that, when France fell, they were able to break away from the control of the Vichy, the replacement Vichy regime, and join the Free Forces, the Free French forces in Africa, to fight alongside the British and other allies. Some were able to do militarised work, sort of semi-militarised work, to help the French military before the Nazi onslaught, and were sent to build the Maginot Line, the line of fortresses along the German and Belgian border. Another thing worth mentioning is that Spanish Republicans who were used to fighting a guerrilla war against Franco, when the these were the men and women who managed to evade the camps and find work outside the camps, they were part of the process of having to create the French resistance, the Maquis, during the war. They understood sabotage, laying mines, ambushes, assassinations, that kind of thing, and were capable of becoming part of the resistance, particularly in southwestern France. At the end of the Second World War, obviously, as mentioned at the beginning, there were millions of displaced people across Europe, a majority of whom were able to return to their home countries. But in the case of Spain, this was not possible, because the one fascist dictator who'd set out the war and survived it as a result was General Francisco Franco, who would live on until 1975. Of the 500,000 Spanish refugees in France in 1939, 160,000 of them remained there until 1962. Of course, the Spanish who remained in France after the war weren't kept in camps any longer, but the camps themselves found that they gained a new lease of life in the early 1960s. When France failed to hold on to Algeria, and the Algerian War of Independence came to its bloody conclusion, 90,000 Algerians loyal to France, referred to as the Harkis, were evacuated to France for fear of terrible reprisal. And River Salts, the camp, was opened again. In the 2 years from 62 to 64, 20,000 former Algerian soldiers and their families were kept in conditions that the Spanish Republicans would have had bitter memories of. So France was desperate to encourage the Algerians to remain loyal to it, but obviously with typical kind of colonial dismissal and kind of chauvinistic arrogance, there was no plan for the Algerian loyalists other than internment and to be treated like the second-class citizens that they always had been treated as. And for anyone that wants to visit it, the camp at Riversalz is now a museum, rather reminiscent of some of the camps that I've been able to visit as a Holocaust educator across Europe in the last 10 years or so. Okay, so I'm going to finish there. Do remember, if you can support our Patreon campaign, that would be great. We do rely on donations and a trickle of ad revenue. I hope you found this useful and interesting, and I'll catch you on the next podcast. All the best. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.